Eva. Next will be the reading of our scripture verse. And Katie, will you mind coming up? It is in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8.
But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning to you all, and thank you for allowing me to take the pulpit when your program says that Reverend Eva is supposed to be preaching. She and Sarah and I were emailing each other this past week about both of the services, quite frankly, and I was under the impression that I was preaching at both services, but when I showed up this morning and saw that the English service had Reverend Eva as the preacher, I breathed a sigh of relief. But after we talked about it, she decided that she could preach next week, and I know how long and hard she must have stayed up last night working on her sermon for this morning. So that means when she gives, whether it's this sermon or another sermon next week, that means she will be doubly prepared next Sunday. During the week, I mentioned to Sarah that for the Chinese service, what I would do is what I did 32 years ago when I was assigned my very first appointment to our Japanese church up in Sacramento. We had two congregations, Chinese and Japanese and English, but historically they only had one pastor who was able to handle both languages. But when the switch happened in 1985, myself, who was the associate, and then another senior pastor, neither of us who could speak enough Japanese to preach. What we would do is every Sunday, whichever one of us was preaching the English sermon, we would write a short one-page summary in English that one of the translators would give up and give in Japanese after we preached in English. And so I did that this week, and it brought back memories of how I had to do that almost every Sunday way back then. So it's it just goes to show you things that you learn early in life that stay with you are things that sometimes may come back to help you out later on in life. It brought back a lot of warm memories of those times. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the beginning of a four-week journey to the manger at Christmas. The word Advent comes from the two Latin words, ad venire, which means to come. And so during Advent, we wait for the coming birth of Jesus Christ. We will do enough waiting, as we always do during this time of the year. I've always noted that this is the time of the year when the days become shorter, but the lines become longer. And so we wait in line while the daylight shortens during this time of year. And a key question during Advent is probably the same question we have when we're standing in those lines. What time is it? Is this the best of times or the worst of times? Mabel's prayer concerns I think, raise that question. And what are we to do during this time as we wait for the Christ child to be born on Christmas morning? The gospel reading on this Sunday gives us guidance. In this section of Mark's gospel, Jesus responds to a question that has been posed to him about the coming of the end times. The question simply is, when will God return? And when will the end of our current time as we know it happen, but the beginning of a new time that God ushers in begin? Jesus responds to those questioners, "We do not know. Only God knows when that will come." But that's not the important point, says Jesus. The important point is that between now and then, that we are to be watchful, to be awake, to not sit around idly, just merely speculating on when this time will come. Three times in this passage, we are told to stay alert. And that means that we are to wait for Jesus' birth in an active way, not a passive one. We are not to just sit around twiddling our thumbs as if we have nothing to do, but we are to live in faith, and we are to continue to work for God's purposes, peace, justice, hope, and love. This is a bit scary because it also means that doing God's work may come with disruption in our lives and in our world, maybe even some suffering. But we are not to lose hope because we wait for the birth of the Christ child who God sends to us at Christmas as God's hope for our world. This Sunday's gospel from Mark is this gospel writer's peculiar kind of birth story. When Christ arrives among us, Mark seems to say, whether he comes at the beginning, at his birth, or at the end, it will be a disruptive kind of time. It will not be business as usual, for God will enter the world with excitement, with disruption, with maybe even a sense of uncomfortableness for some people. God will surely shake our world up. There is bad news for all those who think of themselves as high and mighty, who think that they are in charge. But there is good news. Good news for those who struggle, for those who suffer, for those who are often victims of powerful earthly rulers. Mark tells us that when God enters the world, God will right-size what has become wrong, that God will make just what is unjust, that God will even up the score for those who have been conditioned to live in unfair conditions. For that is the hope and the promise of Advent. All of this talk in today's gospel about the moon and the sun growing dark, the foundations of the earth being shaken, was surely meant to be taken as a word of comfort and hope for those Christians in the first century who were struggling, who were facing persecution. time and again in the history of the church, during some of its most difficult times, these words of hope have been spoken again and again and are what continue to sustain us. They are words that say to us, hold on, watch, be ready. God is coming. What our world needs today, more so than perhaps any other time in history, surely in our lifetimes, is abilities to solve all of its problems and needs. And so the hope on this first Sunday of Advent is that God is coming to set right what is wrong, to vindicate the suffering and the longing of those who love God. So look up and take heart, says this gospel writer. Watch what God is doing. This coming Tuesday, December 5th, marks a very important anniversary of an event that would shake the foundations of American society as it was once known and set this country on a path towards justice and fairness. This coming Tuesday is the 62nd anniversary of the day on which a young Methodist laywoman named Rosa Parks said her famous N-word to that Birmingham, Alabama bus driver. No. No, I will not get up from my seat and move to that section of the bus where the state of Alabama says I legally am required to sit. No, I, as an African American, will no longer acquiesce to a legal system that dehumanizes my people and me. No, no longer will I continue to merely accept fate and my life as other people merely say I should accept it. Through the actions of this one regular woman, through the utterance of that one word to the bus driver and by extension the state of Alabama on that cold, rainy day, Rosa Parks set in motion a long chain of events that would mark her legacy in the history of this country, and you and I, and countless other numbers of people, are forever indebted to her courage and faith in making a stand on the bus that day. You know, I've often wondered if it was just pure coincidence that Rosa Parks' actions took place during the first week of Advent in that year, or if God had something to do with it. Of course, we know the answer to that question. During that Advent season, God moved Rosa Parks to take a defiant action of courage, of justice, which would usher in the advent of the historic movement we have now come to know as civil rights. In her unwillingness to sit idly by and to continue to be a recipient of injustice, Rosa Parks woke up a sleepy America with her actions and signaled that a new day and a new time in American life was coming. At a time of year in which most people simply were preoccupied with buying Christmas gifts and setting up the Christmas tree, the actions of this one woman began the birth of a movement that would forever alter the course of this nation. Her actions, which today are being challenged in many parts of our country, ring true to us. And here during this season of Advent, when we are so tempted to reduce it to times of joy and merriment, which they should be, we do not lose sight of the message that is brought to us through the Gospel of Mark today, that the coming of the Christ is a time that will be a time of tumultuous movement, of threat to some people, of danger to others. But most importantly, it will be a time of God coming into our world to shatter what is merely accepted, to break those forces which seem to have so strong of a hold on us, to bring a new way of life, a new way of life set forth by the Holy Spirit through the birth of a young child. What time is it? You know, it's no accident that during the season of Advent, the liturgical colors are either purple or blue. They are colors that, unlike brighter colors, say red or yellow or green, call us to slow down a bit, to maybe slower our footsteps as we walk, to stop looking down at those phones and to look up and around to see what is happening all around us. Advent, similarly to Lent, is the time that the church calls us to slow down a bit, to take stock of where we are in life, to listen intently to what God is saying to us. It is a time to wait, but a time to wait actively for the coming birth of the Christ child. During this Advent season, while we wait, we live faithfully to prepare for the birth of Jesus, so that we will be prepared to welcome him as God's gift to us once again at Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Make in the busyness of preparing for the charge conference, I finished the worship bulletin, I think Tuesday even. So things were a little bit crazy this past week. And so crazy so that I forgot to buy the communion bread that I usually do on Saturday. So I took what was available at my home. So we were using hot dog buns today for communion. But whatever the element, we do know that it is important that we do this act of remembrance. And I ask Reverend Nakagawa and Pastor Sarah to come and say the communion liturgy and serve communion with me this morning. Hear these words of invitation that Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Together we say, Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors and are not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we are yet sinners, and prove God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and whenever, everywhere, to give thanks to you. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turn away and our love failed, your love remains steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
God of power and might, heaven and earth is full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord's table is open and welcome for all who are able to come forward, and we will also come to you if you are not able. We invite you now to come forward to receive the body of Christ that was broken for you and the blood of Christ that was shed for you. Come as you are able.
Just a kid, 1 in 7 billion. I'm in the sea of many lovesick souls. What if I climbed upon the highest mountain? Would you hear me sing from there? But you meet me where I am, in the valley of my darkness, and you offer me your hand, and you say, come to me if you're weary, and I will give you rest. For the meek and the broken, my